We're momming today with Chelsea Sodaro. Just won the Ironman World Championship. Chelsea, wow. What makes this story even more mind-boggling, besides, you know, swimming for 2.6 miles, biking for 112 miles, and then running a full marathon and doing so in 8.5 hours, is that you're a new mom. I mean, I've had children. Every mother listening is just thinking about the physical challenge that it is not being a new mom. How did you do it?
Hi, Lauren. Well, I'm really happy to be here. And I'm lucky that professional sport is my full-time job. So I have a lot of time and resources to really pour myself into my training and my work. But it has been a massive effort to return to world-class fitness and racing, both on a physical level and also mentally and emotionally. But I have an amazing support team, and I have a lot of self-belief and drive, and I actually feel like I have this whole new sense of purpose and joy in my career and in my life, and I think that that has given me a new motivation on race day.
Okay, you obviously operate at a higher level than everybody listening right now. Would you say, though, even for you, that your body changed through pregnancy?
100%. There's no denying that pregnancy and childbirth are some of the most substantial, significant changes that a female or human body, for that matter, can go through.
And so how'd you do it?
You know, I worked really hard. I work with super smart people. Like, I have an amazing pelvic floor PT who really made sure that I was back to 100% health, or at least as close as I could be before really getting back into proper training. And I
unless, okay, you can't you know, just say pelvic floor. This is a big issue for any woman who has just delivered. Tell us more.
It is. So for most women, you know, you give birth to the baby and you start going to all of these pediatric appointments, right, to make sure the baby is okay. But the only appointment for mom is at 6 weeks postpartum with her OB, and they give us the, you know, green check that we're good to go and everything's fine. But the reality is that that is not enough for most women. A lot of us, you know, I personally dealt with significant postpartum anxiety. I had prolapse. I started peeing my pants once I really got back into training. And so, yes, the reality is that it was really challenging. I had to work super hard to get everything working properly again and make sure that everything was engaged. When we're lactating, our body is releasing this hormone called relaxin. And so it makes us feel kind of loosey-goosey. And it's really this long process that you have to go through to kind of return to like some sense of normalcy. And I think what frustrates me a little bit is that a lot of women don't know that pelvic PTs exist in the first place. And I believe that women should have access to a pelvic PT during their pregnancy to see, hey, what are some red flags or some issues that you might deal with on the other side of childbirth? And how could we maybe address these now to make sure that you can do what you want to do after you have your baby?
I still pee when I jump on the trampoline in the backyard.
Right. A lot of women
pee. It's not funny. It's not funny, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it's kind of been normalized and we laugh, right, that after you have babies, you pee when you sneeze or you pee when you run. And it's actually not normal. And we just don't have access to the resources to help us make sure that everything is working well.
What was your fitness schedule like throughout your pregnancy?
So I was on a training program for the first 20 weeks of my pregnancy, and it was significantly reduced from what I would normally do, but I was training anywhere from 15 hours to 20 hours during that period of time. And when I hit about 20 weeks, I was having a really hard time following the program, and I just felt like I needed to check out and do my own thing, kind of enjoy my pregnancy as much as I could. But I also had morning sickness for 35 weeks. So I had envisioned pregnancy being kind of like a vacation where I would just get to take a break from being a real pro athlete. But the reality is that pregnancy is really hard work.
I know. I know. And then you hear these stories of, I always crack up when I hear a woman, you know, you hear a crazy story. Oh, she didn't know she was pregnant. Really? How did you not know? Because everything is different, whether you can see it or not.
Absolutely.
So how did you then, okay, so you give birth and then describe to us how you slowly got back into your normal full-time workout routine, and then the time between delivering and running and winning the Ironman.
So I got on my bike about 10 days after I gave birth to my daughter. And I think that that was, so many of us, we want to think that our life isn't going to change after we have a baby, that we'll still be able to do the things that we've always done. And I really believe that that's true. But I also had this desperate feeling of like, I need to see if I can still do my thing. And so I got on my bike at 10 weeks or 10 days postpartum, just to see if I could sit on the saddle. And it wasn't a real workout, but I got back on a training schedule when I was 6 weeks postpartum, because I had set this big goal of qualifying for a race called the Collins Cup. And that was going to happen when I was 5 months postpartum, and I needed to do a qualifying race when I was 4 months postpartum. And so I started on a training plan at 6 weeks. I went to altitude camp when I was 3 months postpartum, and then I raced a half Ironman when I was 4 months postpartum. And I think on paper, it looks like this crazy success because I was able to qualify for the Collins Cup and had a great race there. And I was back on a world-class stage at only 5 months postpartum. But I want to be really transparent in saying that that was actually super hard on my body, and it caused me some issues with my pelvic health down the road. And also, I think I really struggled with a lot of mental health issues because I was still in this newborn phase, in this very newly postpartum phase. And I was just so stressed about my work and getting back to fitness that I think that really exacerbated the postpartum anxiety that I was dealing with. And so after that summer, little summer racing stint in 2021, I took a big step back and told my coach, look, I need to take a break. I need to just focus on my family for a couple of months. And then at the beginning of 2022 is when I really got back into the full time pro training schedule. I didn't start out really, really great in 2022. It took me about a full year after having my daughter to start to feel like myself. And I did my first Ironman in June of 2022. And that's when I was like, I think that I can really do this again.
And was that your only Ironman, or that was just your first?
My first Ironman was in Hamburg in June of 2022. And then my second full Ironman was at the Kona World Championships in October this
year.
All
right. So that's the one you won, your second. We're going to have more
exactly.
with Chelsea Sodaro on We're Momming Today in just a bit.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back on We're Momming Today with Chelsea Sodaro. I just, you know, hearing you talk, you're so honest about how, you don't compete as a normal person, but you really are very normal as a mother, having all of the same issues and struggles that we all have. And I think it was more difficult for you is because it was your first child and you don't know what to expect. Should you have a second child, you'd probably get it a little bit more and be easier with yourself physically and mentally, knowing what it's really like in the return to, you know, your regular routine. But
I think so. Yeah. I think for so many new moms, there's this huge stress of, you know, you lack confidence with your newborn. You're just, you don't even know if you can keep a baby alive. And it's this,
you're not sleeping.
You're not sleeping. So you don't know how you're going to deal with that. You're learning as you go. And it's a two-way street, right? It's not just about you and what you want. you're working with the baby, right? It's two of you and you have to figure each other out. And that was totally something that I dealt with. We had big feeding and breastfeeding issues. And that was super hard. It's something that a lot of moms deal with that we also don't talk about. And of course, like the sleep deprivation is insane and it's hard. Any new mom will tell you it's really hard being a new parent.
So when, I guess I'm trying to get in your head as you are now, you know, is the right verb running the Ironman, competing in the Ironman World Championship in Kona?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What was going through your mind? Like, were you off to a good start? Did you really think that you could win? You know, what were your friends and family saying? Was your daughter there?
My daughter was there. Yes, she has traveled the world this season, coming to lots of my races all over the place. But my training was really starting to click in the few weeks leading into Kona. And I was very nervous leading into race week. But I don't know if you can relate to this. I fight so hard to get to the starting lines. Like, it is so hard as a parent to just get there, to get to have the opportunity to do my job with, you know, like childcare issues and just all the things that come with being a new parent. You have to really be intentional about carving that time out for yourself to perform at a super high level. And I think on race morning, I just felt this massive sense of peace and calm and gratitude for having the opportunity to do what I love. And I remember starting the swim and I immediately felt pretty good. And I was just telling myself, Chelsea, just pretend like you're going for a nice open water swim with your girlfriends. And I tucked in right where I wanted to be. And I actually, I breathed to the right and I looked over and there was a huge rainbow out on the horizon. And I think that was so symbolic for the day ahead for me. I was so present and really focused on what I was doing in the moment that allowed me to pull out the best possible performance and have my best possible day. These races are so long and they're so hard and you don't have control over what anyone else is doing. And so I realized that when I perform at my best, it's when I'm focusing on my process and being as excellent as I can possibly be and not really worrying about other people. And that's what I was able to do in Kona on that day.
Are you attached to the results?
Results matter. It's my job. It's my profession. And I care a lot about what I do. And winning is really freaking fun. So
I wasn't expecting that answer. I was expecting a whole yogi type of, well, you know, it's just all part of the journey and the process. And I just did my best. And you're like, nope. Results matter.
Yeah. Results matter, especially when this is your job. But I think that you can't get hung up on those when you're in the moment of competing, because that can get you out of your zone, right? So they matter, but what matters more is that you execute your best day.
But I guess being a competitive athlete, I don't know if this would be valid for what you do, but you had mentioned earlier that you have this intentional carving out of time. You don't have a lot of time because you have new responsibilities, right? And you probably prioritize being with Skylar, well, than running and swimming. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're equal. She's more whatever. But you've got a lot going on. You don't have the luxury of time anymore. You just don't, because being a parent takes that luxury away. So you work harder and more intentionally when you do carve out that time, and there's just fewer distractions. Does that operate for what you do? For me, for instance, if I know I'm behind on work, completely different. I mean, I work with my brain, completely not physical. I just make sure that I'm able to wake up an hour earlier in the morning to do everything I wasn't able to do because the kids were so annoying the night before. And yeah, I'm more tired, but heck, it's an hour and I'm able to compete in my profession at the same level, because I sacrificed an hour of sleep. Silly example, but are you able as an athlete to maneuver like that?
I totally relate to that. What is a little bit tricky as a professional athlete is that recovery and sleep are so important. So
bad analogy, Lauren. Got it.
No, it's not a bad analogy. It's not a bad analogy. I totally relate because sometimes I have to do that too. I just have to be really careful, like for my health, that I'm not burning the candle at both ends all of the time. But I think, you know, as moms, you probably get this all the time. Lauren, how do you do it all? Right. And the way that I do it is that I have different seasons of the year where I really have to pour myself into my training. And that may mean that my daughter spends a little bit more time with her grandparents in the few weeks leading into Kona, because I have to be super dialed into what I'm doing. But in the few weeks after Kona, I'm a full-time mom and maybe I'll exercise a little bit, but our world really revolves around our family. And I think it's not so much about having balance every single day. It's about having a full and balanced life over the course of a year or a couple years or a lifetime. And I, you know, sometimes it's tempting to feel really guilty that I am heading out for long training days and not seeing her as much during those intensive training periods. But I want to model for her what it looks like to be a strong woman and what it looks like to care about your career or your passions, and that you really, you can have all the things as long as you have the right support.
My oldest, she's 7. I try to say, well, mommy, you know, can't attend that because I worked really hard on this at work and it's going to show and whatever. I just, you know, exaggerate to beef up what I do at work to make her think it's a positive and to steer her in the right direction, that she studies hard, she can get a career that she loves as well. But I do it in a way to make her, or I try to do it in a way that makes her really proud of me, rather than saying, well, her job takes her away from me. You know, Fox takes mommy away from Ray. And she hasn't said that yet. And I find she kind of brags a little bit to her friends. At one point, I actually had to dial her back because she started to, in a weird way, think that stay-at-home moms weren't accomplished.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh boy, okay, that's not where we meant to go with this. I was just, you know, I felt like at such a deficit because not only am I a full-time working mom, I commute to my job 5 days a week, which nobody does anymore. I mean, come on, everybody's working from home. So I was like, okay, Lauren needs to dial this back a little bit. But it was just so refreshing to hear her talk about me in such, you know, a positive light. And I thought she was proud of me. So I think setting that example for Skylar will, when she's older, eventually kick in, you know. And maybe she'll think that other moms are really lazy and overweight and don't eat healthy, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, it sounds to me like you're doing a really good job.
Oh, God.
Ultimately, you know, I want Sky to think that she is the center of our universe. And this is kind of just a side note, right, that mom did Ironmans for a few years when she was little. But I just think it's so important for us to model for our children and our young daughters and the boys that are watching as well, that, you know, you can pursue the things that make you feel alive and you can also be a great parent.
Perfectly said. Final question. How long do you need to recover after you compete in an Ironman?
You know, my body felt pretty good after Kona. It took me a week or so to get rid of those initial DOMS or, you know, serious muscle soreness. But like I was talking about, it's such a huge effort to get to the starting line. It requires a ton of dedication and time from me, but also from my family and support team and the people who are close to me. So I feel like we all need a few weeks to check out from triathlon and not talk too much about swimming, biking, and running so that come the next big buildup, we're fired up and excited to take on a new challenge.
Oh, and what is your race diet?
You know what? I really eat
whatever you want.
Everything. Yeah, it's not that I eat whatever I want. It's that I don't restrict my diet. And yeah, I eat really healthy. I try to eat whole foods. But yeah, if I want, you know, the cookie, I eat the cookie.
What about the cookies, plural?
Sometimes that happens too.
You're just going to run a marathon the next day. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Chelsea, thank you so much for talking with us. That was so honest, honestly.
Thanks so much for having me, Lauren. I really appreciate it.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. January 26th, 1988 was a cold and suspiciously quiet night at the Indianapolis Police Department, but the frigid night took a chilling turn with news of a triple homicide. This week, I'm joined by retired Sergeant Judd Green for a look back at this savage case. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.